It's good to be here. I spent the last 2 weeks running around with 11-year-olds in Ashington, and they've either killed me in one way or another, either killed my ankle, which I damaged a few years ago. They've had me absolutely limping around like crazy. And I've had dizzy spells since Wednesday, so if we can get through today upright, this will be good. That's all right, Ronnie needs it. So, I don't know what to call this message other than, and I'll leave straight away if you'd like me to, have to tell you what I've called this message. But I don't know what to call this message other than Jeremiah's pants. It's about the best title that I can think about for this message, Jeremiah's pants. And the thing is that you seek God, and then you open up whatever you're really looking at the time, and then just allow God to show you something that he's just going to show you. And what amazes me is that you can come across something that you think, I have never, ever seen that before. Or if I have seen it, I don't recall it, and I certainly don't remember seeing it in that light. And so this story, I found it incredibly difficult to believe that this is in the Bible. And I'm thinking, God, you know. And then as I got to the end of it, I just thought, God, you're incredible. The way that you've wanted to speak through this, and you've put it in this story. And so it's in Jeremiah chapter 13, if you've got a Bible or something with a Bible on it. And we're going to read Jeremiah 13 in the first 14 verses. So Jeremiah 13 and the first 14 verses. And it says this. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen loincloth and put it on, but do not wash it. So I bought the linen loincloth as the Lord directed me, and I put it on. Then the Lord gave me another message. Take the linen loincloth you are wearing and go to the Euphrates River. Hide it there in a hole in the rocks. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates as the Lord had instructed me. I hope your mind's not working too much here. A long time afterward, the Lord said to me, go back to the Euphrates and get the loincloth I told you to hide there. So I went to the Euphrates and dug it out of the hole where I had hidden it. But now it was rotting and falling apart, and the loincloth was good for nothing. Then I received this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. This shows how I will rot away the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. These wicked people refuse to listen to me. They stubbornly follow their own desires and worship other gods. Therefore, they will become like this loincloth, good for nothing. As a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. They were to be my people, my pride, my glory, an honor to my name, but they would not listen to me. So tell them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. May all your jars be filled with wine. And they will reply, of course jars are made to be filled with wine. Then tell them, no, this is what the Lord means. I will fill everyone in this land with drunkenness, from the king sitting on David's throne to the priests and the prophets, right down to the common people of Jerusalem. And I will smash them against each other, even parents against children, says the Lord, and I will not let my pity or mercy or compassion keep me from destroying them. Now, before we get to the story, I just want to say a couple of things about Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you know, he's a prophet, but his name can mean either the Lord exalts or the Lord establishes. Jeremiah's got a really difficult calling. He's got a really difficult job. And he's called to speak plain, hard-hitting messages to the people of God. He's been called even before he was born. And the call of God is like stamped into his very fabric. Before you were born, I chose you. So God stamped this call to speak to the people right into who he is. He's not called to be popular. And he's not called to be liked. And he's not called to tickle ears. And so he's not probably the most popular minister or pastor that you would have if you just want a cuddle. And are there. Jeremiah's words are straight with to the point from God. In fact, the call of God on his life, it's going to place him in continual conflict with the king or kings, with the people that he's called to bring the word of God to. During his whole lifetime in which he's just obeying God, he's going to get called a traitor. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be hounded throughout 40 years of obeying God to bring the word of God in obedience. And he's going to be continually threatened, especially accused of treason. Maybe it had to do with the word he brought, because the words he brought were hard-hitting. You know, in this day and age in which we live, often we want those warm words of encouragement just to get us through another week. And those come, and they're good. But sometimes the word of the Lord comes quite strongly and powerfully and with great conviction. And that's what Jeremiah was called to bring. In fact, in a chapter earlier, in chapter 3, verse 2, he even called the people who he was speaking to a bunch of prostitutes, spiritual prostitutes, because they had taken what God had given them and they had just given it away to idols. And so he was very, very to the point with his message. To make matters worse, he even told the people that in the future they were going to be taken into captivity, that Jerusalem would be ransacked, that Judah would fall, and the best of the best would be carted away from what God had given them. And so his call was a difficult one. It cost him a lot to follow God. It still costs us today if we truly wish to follow God in obedience. It calls us out of places like lethargy. It calls us out of places like complacency. It calls us out of places like indifference to follow who God is. So that's Jeremiah. If I remember right, we're somewhere in the region of 600 to 700 years before Christ. So that's about the period that he lives in. It's a divided kingdom. He's in the south, in Judah, with Jerusalem as its capital. Israel is in the north. But what about today's story? Well, I've said it could actually be called Jeremiah's pants. On the face of it, it appears quite a bizarre story. God says, go and buy a linen loincloth, put it on, and don't wash it. So God's literally telling him, go and buy a pair of pants. Put the pants on and don't wash them. I think I'd like to know, God, is that just till tomorrow? Is it a couple of days? Is it a week? Is it longer? I'd be like, God, really, you know, am I going to get to wash the pants, the loincloth? God just says, go, buy the linen loincloth and put it on and don't wash them. I mean, how incredibly bizarre, but God throughout the Bible calls people to acts of obedience to follow him, even when when he's asking looks like it makes no sense at all. So Jeremiah is called to go and buy a pair of underpants, an undergarment, a loincloth. It's a cloth which goes around the loins to form a small covering tunic. To all intents and purpose, it's a very intimate and private article of clothing because of where it's worn or placed. God says, go and buy it, put it on, don't wash it. And so Jeremiah goes in obedience, and that's exactly what he does. And then God comes to him again and gives them what I've called two further loincloth instructions. In verse 3, God says, we don't know how long afterwards, but God says, now take the linen loincloth you are wearing and go to the river, and when you get there, take it off and stuff it into a hole in the rocks. Hide it in the rocks. And I'd be thinking, God, you know, you've told me to go and buy this pair of pants, this loincloth, put it on, not to wash them, in fact, to go around possibly with stinking pants on. And now you're asking me to go and take them off and bury them. But on everything God says, Jeremiah does. He hears, he listens, or he listens and he hears. Because I understand, being a man, that that's two different things. I hear, but I've learned that it's different to listening. But he hears, he listens, he acts, he buys, he puts on, and then he goes to where God's instructed them, and he takes them off and he hides them. In his own words, though, Jeremiah in verse 5 says, I went as the Lord instructed me. So he's doing exactly what God's told him to do. Quite simply, even though it made little or no sense, there was a drive inside him to obey and honor God because of his commitment to obedience. Because popularity didn't matter to Jeremiah. What mattered was delivering what God was telling him to deliver, and even doing what didn't make sense, but he just knew God was telling him to do it. It might not look so strange in the day, because everybody would be going buying a loincloth at one point or another. What was different was that God said, don't wash it, keep it on for however long, and then go and hide it in a hole. But you know, for all of us in this room, God will require times when we're challenged to obey God with something that appears to make little or no sense. It'll require complete and abandoned obedience. It may even look bizarre and a bit stupid to other people, and it might cause us to be misunderstood by those around us. But when you know in your knower that God's telling you to act in obedience, then you just have to act in obedience when it looks crazy. You know, I spent 15 years in London. And 5 of those years, though, were spent in Essex, in Harlow. To us, that's London. But if you live in Harlow, you're like about 15 or 20 miles out of London. But so they don't think of themselves as London, but we do. So when I was in Harlow in Essex, I attended an Elam Pentecostal church. And the pastor was what I would describe as an abandoned man to God, really. I didn't quite grasp it at the time, but there was an urgency in his preaching and his speaking that when he spoke, there was no need for razzmatazz or anything. He just carried God. And when he spoke, you know that he had got what he had got from God. It was just clear in his preaching and in his passion. His name was Robert. But one day, Pastor Robert did what appeared to be a very strange thing. He said that God had told him to go and stand barefoot in the center of the town in full view of hundreds of people and preach about the cross of Christ and the power of the gospel. When I began to look at this passage, I thought of it as a Jeremiah's underpants moment, because the town center in Harlow was filled with people. Not just three or four, but scores and scores of people. And Pastor Robert went in and took his socks and shoes off and stood and just shared about Christ. If for a moment you could have thought that it was a little bit, you know, but actually his conviction was so strong that he decided that he had to follow his conviction, because he felt so strongly that God had told him about it. For him, it was just simply about obedience. And for Jeremiah, this strange story becomes about obedience, is about obedience. I would want to know from God, why are you asking me to do this? What's the significance of what you're asking me to do? God, what's the whole purpose of this? But then we arrive at verse 6, and it takes us into the next part of this strange story. And it says this: a long time afterward. See, we weren't told that about how long the pants were on, but we're told that it's a long time that they've been rotting away in the rock. A long time afterward, the Lord said to me, go back to the Euphrates and get the loincloth I told you to hide there. So Jeremiah goes back and simply trusts God for the loincloth. And verse 7 says this: it was good for nothing. In fact, it's rotting and it's falling apart. And if I was Jeremiah, I'd be thinking, God, why now have you told me to go back for it? Are you going to tell me now to put these pants back on now that they're in an even worse state? So picture Jeremiah. He's at the rock with this loincloth that is now not only unwashed, not only smelly, but is now tattered, rotten, and fallen to bits. But then the explanation for what is done comes from God. For no other reason than God knew God's timing. And God's timing is perfect, even when it tests our patience, and even when it seems, like you said earlier, that we then find ourselves putting our hopes in other things. But here Jeremiah's realizing that God's timing of going and getting it back out of the rock is for a specific reason. And to get that, we've got to go back to Jeremiah 13, verse 9 again. To 11, it says this. So he's there, he's at the rock. If you've got the picture in your head, he's there at the rock. He's pulled out the loincloth. And this is what the Lord says: this shows how I will rot away the pride of Judah and Jerusalem. These wicked people refuse to listen to me. They stubbornly follow their own desires and worship other gods. Therefore, they will become like this loincloth and good for nothing. The penny's beginning to drop in Jeremiah's head. All right. Verse 11: as a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Israel to cling to me, says the Lord. They were to be my people, my pride, my glory, and honor to my name, but they would not listen to me. How incredible. This garment that clings to the body. God's saying, that's how my people were meant to be. Let's identify something from each of those three verses, 9 to 11, that God is saying through the loincloth. In verse 9, God begins, he begins in the second part of the whole episode of the loincloth. God begins to speak where Jeremiah pulls the loincloth from the hidden place in the rock. I would want to go back to the very beginning of the story then. God, can we go back to the beginning? Why I had to put them on in the first place? But God doesn't start there. He starts at the end of the story where he pulls them out of the hidden place in the rock. And God says, this shows how my people are going to rot away because of pride. God says, the people have arrived at a place of pride which is rot, must be rotted away. In fact, God's saying they've become smelly. They've become unwashed. And they become rotten with pride. So God starts at the end. When he's got the rotten things in his hands, God says, this is what my people are ending up and becoming, like this. But then verse 10, not only is the pride, there is the pride of verse 9 is how they've got there, but by verse 10, we see that the people of God are wicked. Now, how are they wicked? They've taken the place for God in their hearts, and they've given it to other gods. They've given it to the intimacy to someone else. That's the wickedness. And it also says that they hear the word of God, but it stopped going in, and it stopped being effective. In fact, they become stubborn, following their own desires, and they're worshipping any other gods, and they're proud of it. Remember, God's taken Jeremiah through the whole episode of wearing this garment just to deliver this huge picture. I find that, having been in school for 20 years, that sometimes one of the best ways to learn is when you've got to do something to learn what you're talking about. That often just having somebody speaking to you doesn't always, like, it goes in and it go out. But when you've got to pick something up and touch something or put something on or dress up, it actually has a lasting image and picture. And so this is what God's doing with Jeremiah, taking him through the whole touchy-feely visual thing to get the message across. But then God delivers to Jeremiah the whole reason for the pants. God says, because of these things, pride, stubbornness, wickedness, his people are going to rot away like this loincloth. But now it's becoming absolutely clear just why God has taken Jeremiah on his journey. And then we get to verse 11. And it delivers what I believe is the very heart of God for his people. God says, remember, we started at the end with the rotten loincloth. Now God takes him back to the beginning, to when he put it on, and God says, as a loincloth, you put it on, you wrap it round, and do all you have to do to it. God says, as a loincloth clings to the man's waist, we're back at the beginning now, this was how I created my people to cling to me. In fact, they were meant to be my pride and glory and an honor for my name. God's saying to Jeremiah, in effect, I created you, the people like this garment, for intimacy. To be an intimate part of who I am. I created you to be as close as it's possible to get to me, says God. It seems incredibly strange that it's in the natural and the body, and God's just saying, I haven't got a problem with that. I'm telling you now, this is, as this garment covers the intimate part of the body, is how you were meant to be clung to me, close to me, in intimacy. That's the heart of God for his people, to have friendship and fellowship. And that's his heart for us, to have fellowship and friendship in intimacy. How incredible that God's got to use him to go to a marketplace, buy a garment, put it on, get smelly, hide it in a rock, just to say, this is how they become, but that's how I wanted it to start. And God's going, Jeremiah, so that's why I had to wear the pants. Yeah, because I had to show you what was to come and how it started. But then comes a line which I don't believe spoken in anger. It's quite the opposite. And I feel as though it's spoken in sadness and disappointment. God says about his people, but they would not listen to me. So verse 11 is taking us back to the beginning where the nation set aside for intimacy, but then becomes grubby with all the stuff that breaks the relationship. You remember Abraham? God says to him, I'll take you out. I want you to set out from this place to go to a place that I'll show you when you get going. I'll make your nation great, more than the sand, more than the stars. And God sets his heart on this nation. So God's heart for the nation from the beginning has just been for intimacy and for friendship and for fellowship. We could say the same about the beginning of all time where God created man in his own image for friendship, for intimacy. But things came in and grubbied the loincloth and got in the way. But the thing was, we were set aside like the people of Israel for intimacy, to cling close. But what does that mean for all of us here? Well, this is where you're going to have to let your imagination become a little bit creative. I want you to think of yourself as a loincloth. If you want to have a look at what a biblical loincloth looks like, all you have to do is go into the computer and put in biblical loincloth and you'll see what one looks like. I won't take you all the way through what it looks like. But I want you to think yourself as a loincloth being set aside to cling to God. Being set aside to cling to God in great intimacy. Listen to what the Bible says about you and me being set aside for God. In Ephesians 1, verse 3-8, it says this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, this is a great verse. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Clean loincloth. Intimacy. Sticking close. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. So in advance, God says, this is how I want my people to be. This is how I'm designing you to be, to cling to me in closeness and intimacy. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. He's created us anew. Why? Because the loincloth got dirty. Because the loincloth got smelly and grubby and got hid away in sin. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Dirty loincloth. But he has created us anew in Christ. Clean loincloth. And he puts the story in Jeremiah of this simple story to show how we were meant to cling close, how we become grubby, how we become tattered, but how we become new in Christ. It's like, God, it's like you're joking. I can't wait to what I'm going to see, find out next week. Crumbs, because God's already started to speak to me about another chapter further on about good figs and bad figs. And I'm thinking, right, well, I can't wait to hear what that one's going to be about. But you know, we've been bought at a great price for intimacy with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made to come close, to to Him. We've been made for intimacy with Him. And if that's the case, I've got a question. And I might have two questions. And it's this. Because even though we've come to Christ, what's the state of our loincloth? In other words, what's our spiritual condition of intimacy with God now? Now we know we've come to Christ. We know that the eternity is secured. But on the way there, things can get smelly. And things can cause the relationship to become a bit tattered and torn. I wonder, is there anything that's maybe just grubby in the loincloth? It can be a small thing. It can be an attitude. It can be an unforgiveness. It can be something that we're thinking we just need to nip that in the bud now. Because it just grubbies the intimacy with God. You know, the loincloth of God's people in the time of Jeremiah, although it had started in such great condition, it had just become grubbied through pride. Oh, look what we're doing. It's great. We're not honoring God. And we think it's great. That's what they were doing. Wickedness, a refusal to listen, stubbornness, their own desire, worshipping other gods. But that verse, that line in verse 11 that God says, as a loincloth clings to a man's waist, so I created Judah and Jerusalem to cling to me. I think it's incredible that God just told him not to wash this loincloth, purely to show that he had started with them, that he wanted them to cling to him in intimacy. You know, it's true of us, every person sat in this place today, that we were created to cling to God. We were created for intimate friendship with God. God says, I created you to cling to me. In fact, God says to us, like he says to his people, I've created you to be my people. We've read that in advance, God chose us. I've created you to be my pride. I've created you to be my glory. I've created you to be an honor for my name. I love the picture of the Son who goes away from the Father, where that relationship that they've got of intimacy and friendship, and the Father dotes on the Son, and the Son loves the Father, but then the Son wants his own way, goes away, gets the loincloth in an absolute state and smelling of pigs and a mess, and he comes back, and Dad just doesn't look for him. He runs, it says, he picks up his skirts, and he runs, and he runs, and he falls on him. And do you know what he does? He gives him a new coat. Because he created him for intimacy, but he went, and he got it all dirty. Now, if you read the end of Jeremiah, you just know that God just has a way of bringing these people back into relationship. So, what's grubby in your loincloth? Is there anything grubby in your loincloth? Maybe, though, because of your leaders, you just are, you know, saints at a very high level. So there's not a wrong thought or a wrong word or a wrong attitude, and you don't sin till Thursday. You get through Monday, Tuesday, where I jest. But in a serious note, what's the condition of our heart and mind and life? I have to ask myself this. It's like a self-examination at the end of the day. What is the state of my attitudes, of my heart and my mind and my words and my actions? Have I carried Christ well? Have I shown him? Have I expressed him? Is there anything grubby? Is there anything that's got a bit rotten? You know, the tattered loincloth can often relate to when just stuff is not resolved. It starts a wee bit smelly. But then if it's not nipped in the bud, and it can go on for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and it can end up in tatters. Because it just needs to be addressed. Have we become stubborn in any way? And God being unable to shift us from something that we just know that He's wanting to put His finger on? Have we stopped or withdrawn from any reason from that intimate place of God? This is the thing about God, that he's an intimate God. He wants that closeness. He loves that closeness. Worship's one of the greatest places as well of that just that adoration and closeness with the Father. So, this afternoon I just want to remind you, based on verse 11, we were made to cling to God in good condition through the blood of Jesus Christ. We were predestined like Israel to be His people. We were set aside in advance to be His bride. I love that. You know, it's like when a dad or a mom says, "Oh, can I just tell you about my daughter or my son? Oh, you know, I'm so pleased with them. They've just gone and done this, and they've passed this, and they've passed that, and oh, they're into this university, they passed their test first time, you know. Oh, you know, and they've gone and achieved this, and there's just, it's not like a bragging pride, I don't mean that, but where there's just a thrill on the side of the parent of, oh, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's God, that's my boy, that's my girl." But, you know, He comes still, though, and says, that's grubby in the loincloth. That needs to be looked at. But where His pride? We're made from the start to reflect His glory. And we were created in His image to bring honor to His name. So, can grubby loincloths ever be useful again? Well, I thank God that they can, because we've read it already. That even before He made the world, He loved us and chose us, decided in advance to adopt us, and encountering Christ, we'll come back in that place of usefulness. And really, that's about it today. That's all I wanted to bring to you, was that story of this thing, these few verses that God puts in. And I've got my final line was, today is a great day to get the cloth clean, you know, and just to once again recognize that we are just created for that intimacy in God. And so I hope that's been just of some, I hope it doesn't give you nightmares, as they say on Crime Watch.